This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. This is going to be our free agency segment. I don't want to get too much into stuff that will be dated by Wednesday. You know, this is what's always difficult this time of year because it all happens so quickly, and you're going to you could talk about one guy and then, you know, he's in Houston 12 minutes later, right? Well, when that's foreshadowing. But, you know, we're going to get into a good bit, and I want to talk about stuff that has happened. I don't want to talk a ton about stuff that will happen, but we can talk about what has happened. And one of the things that happened in the NFC South that is very notable that doesn't even have anything to do with the Saints technically is Baker Mayfield. We talked a bit about this. The Bucs re-signed Baker Mayfield on a contract. I think it's 3 years, $100 million, right?
Very hefty, right? 50 guaranteed?
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting in perspective on Derek Carr's contract, because one of the things that you heard all season long was like the Saints paid all this for Derek Carr and he did this, and the Bucs paid pennies and got a reason, like basically the same performance out of Derek Carr. Out of Baker Mayfield. And people like, and I basically said, hey, there's some perspective here. Now both guys are making $30 million. So we can't have that conversation anymore, because clearly what Baker Mayfield did was valued at $30 million, because that's how much they're paying him. They're paying him a little over $30 million a season. And the numbers on the first 3 years are virtually identical to what Derek is making over the first 3 years of his contract. Obviously, Derek's numbers are weird now because they've already been restructured and whatnot. But, you know, so like, we can't, that conversation doesn't make sense anymore, because these guys had about the same season, and like, talk to me all you want about the fact that the Bucs made the playoffs. The Bucs went 9-8. The Bucs went 1-1 against the Saints, right? These teams had basically the same year. At one point, the Bucs lost like 6 of 7 games. They did not have a perfect season. The only reason you look at Baker's season and say, well, what an amazing season, is because he did it on like a $1 million contract. If he does the same thing on a $30 million contract, then there's a difference there. And so now it's like, okay, who do you compare Derek Carr to now? Because I think that the market just told you that what Derek did was worth about $30 million. Because you look at the numbers, I think Baker had like slightly higher counting stats. So you're talking about yardage, touchdowns, he had more interceptions. But there's a kind of margin for error there, which is that Derek missed, what, 6 quarters, give or take? Like, he missed the majority of the second half against the Vikings, a majority of the second half against the Packers, and I think the fourth quarter against the Lions. So the discrepancy in counting stats can be accounted for there, right? That's a rounding error, I guess you would say. Completion percentage, Derek had a higher number. Like, so, it again, both teams went 9-8. They went 1-1 head-to-head. So yeah. I just think it's interesting because now you can't look at it and say, well, Derek is getting paid this crazy amount and Baker's getting paid peanuts, because now Baker's getting $30 million a year. And then the Falcons are looking at potentially paying Kirk Cousins. Who the hell knows how much they're going to pay him? It's not going to be cheap. I bet it's not going to be shy of $30 million a year. So I think we can stop talking about Derek's contract as if it's an unreasonable amount of money, because that's just what the market is. Maybe they overpaid to some extent, but not by as much as people were clamoring about last season, because apparently any quarterback that has those types of numbers is going to get in the range of $30 million.
Yeah, I don't think folks fully grasp the market that is the quarterback in the NFL anymore. And man, oh man, we're seeing more and more ridiculous contracts coming. I don't know, you know, what to think for the future. I don't know if we talked about this on the show or last podcast, but you pay a top-notch quarterback and a running and a wide receiver, where's the rest of your cap space going to be nowadays?
Yeah, and I mean, like, Derek needs to be better. Like, that's a second Absolutely. Conversation to be had. Like, Derek needs to be more consistent than he was last year. My point is that the contract is not unreasonable, right? And it's, if you want to sign basically any quarterback who has done anything in the NFL, you got to pay about 30 plus million dollars to get him to come to town. That's just the deal. That's the market, right? Now, if you want Joe Flacco for a season, yeah, you could get him. Right. But there's a clear watermark that if you're above it, then that's what you're getting. And then like some teams turn around immediately and say like, yeah, okay, Kenny Pickett, like you want a rookie quarterback, right? Oh, we're going to go draft a rookie in the first round. 2 years later, you're bringing in Russ over Kenny Pickett. I'm so glad, like I've been hating on Kenny Pickett since day one. So I'm glad that it only took 2 years for me to be vindicated and to take that he's kind of trash. He's a backup. He's a career backup. But like Daniel Jones, like look at the Giants we're also in the market for Russ, right? Who knows what they're going to do with Daniel Jones? Another guy they getting paid in the $30 million range. Geno Smith is in the $30 million range. So, you know, I just think that it's not about the money at the quarterback position. It's about the production.
Yeah.
And you need, if that's the conversation we need to have. It doesn't need to be about the amount of money he's making, because again, you're going to be talking about that contract by the time it's up as in the bottom half of quarterback contracts.
I think the problem for Saints fans is they want to believe that Andy Dalton could have gave you the same production for the minimal cost of what you gave Carr, and you could have been rebuilding the quarterback position then instead of being invested in Carr. I don't know what the anger is over paying Derek, except for the fact that they didn't view him as that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to like, okay, you can bring in a bridge and have a rookie quarterback learning, or you can do what the Saints did and try to go with a veteran. And there's arguments to be made. That said, it's like, who is this rookie? And, you know, like, it's like funny because like, yeah, okay, that's what the Bucs tried to do.
Right.
And Baker got them to 9-8 and earned himself a $30 million contract. So it's not that simple.
No, I remember we were saying, oh man, the Bucs are tanking for Caleb.
I think that was their point. That was their plan, but he played too well, right? So I don't know. I think it's interesting, but we don't have to talk about Baker all day because I do want to talk about, so what else have the Saints done? So they had Avante Maddox, former Eagles cornerback, in for a free agent visit. I don't know if he's having a workout. Nick Underhill reported that this morning, but it does make sense, right? We talked previously about how I don't want Alante Taylor to be jammed back into the slot because you don't have any other options. I want to have maybe not a premium option, but a veteran option that I feel comfortable with. And Avante Maddox is that guy. I think, you know, I looked it up this morning. You know, he's missed a good number of games over the last two seasons, right? I think it's something like 15 games over the last two seasons, which isn't exactly something you love to hear. But that said, you're going to evaluate that. You're going to have him in for a physical. You're going to see, like, just like you talked about with Marshawn Lattimore, how predictive are these injuries? Are they something you're concerned about long term? But what I do like to see in terms of this is, so Avante Maddox has played 597 defensive snaps the last two seasons. 483 of those have been in the slot. So he is a dedicated slot corner. And I think whether it's him, whether it's somebody else, that's something that the Saints are prioritizing in this free agency cycle. And that's going to be even more important if you end up trading Marshawn Lattimore, which we're still kind of waiting to see whether that market develops, what you end up doing. But I think that's just an indicator that the Saints agree that slot corner is a need for them.
Yeah, that was one, you know, we've been batting around, obviously, with the idea of Marshawn leaving. It's like, all right, then it would seem that Alante Taylor moves into that outside role, and then you're left still searching for that slot corner. And even if there is no Lattimore trade, I just don't like Taylor lined up in that nickel role. He showed that it just wasn't comfortable for him.
I mean, I like the ability, right? Like, I like the fact that he now can do it. Does that make sense? Like, it's not, it's a positive that if you need him in the slot,
I got you right.
He can play there. So even if you bring in a guy you intend to start in the slot, what if he gets hurt week four? Who's your second best option? It probably would be Alante. And that's not to say that you want to be stuck there, but if you need it in a pinch, it can happen. And I think there's value there. That you wouldn't say that with Marshawn, right? Like, you would never say, like, just because he's never done it, right? Like, you would never say, like, oh, like CJ got hurt. Who's going in? It's going to be Bradley Roby. It's going to be whatever, right? Whereas if you end up in a pinch where now you're looking at, okay, well, you trade Marshawn, Alante's your outside corner, you have Ike Yadam, right? You probably re-sign Ike if you trade Marshawn. Now, your slot corner goes down. Whoever you bring in, Avanti Maddox, he goes down, whatever. You can shift Alante inside, at least in a pinch, and know he's sure there, and then plug in somebody behind. You know, so it's just a question of what's the best value, what's the best bang for your buck at all three of those positions. And it doesn't hurt that a guy can play inside, outside. So as annoying as that might have been for Alante this season, it's in the long run, I think it's going to help him, particularly as he goes into free agency and tries to get a big contract. That said, I agree. I'd like to see Alante get, you know, it's like, and in part because I just think that while he was serviceable in the slot for a good chunk of this season, like in Green Bay, I thought he had one of his best games as a pro. It's just, I don't think that's where he's at his best. And so it's about getting him in his most effective position.
And I don't feel like he's happy there either. He's doing it for the team, but deep down, he's not happy being the slot guy.
No, and then someone had even floated on Twitter that, like, oh, maybe they'll try Alante at safety after the news that Marcus May got is going to get released.
He squashed that.
Yeah, and he said, nah. Like, that's just what he said. Like, nah.
Nah.
Which, yeah, I agree. He's not a safety. But either way, so Avanti Maddox is the only player as of now, as of 1 o'clock on Monday, that we know about the Saints visiting the Saints. By the time you listen to this podcast, that could have changed. So don't take that for anything. It's just the nature of this time of year. Stuff develops quickly. The other thing that happened that just happened, Lonnie Johnson Jr. is headed to Houston, back to Houston, even. He was there before. So that's, you know, as we talk about, okay, what do you do at safety? His name is now out of the running there. So you're looking at guys like Ugo Amadi, Jonathan Abram, player A from free agency, or player B from draft, right?
Yeah, you just mentioned that. And very interestingly enough, I just saw a pop up on social media that the Panthers are planning to move on from Von Bell. So, maybe a reunion eventually with someone like him, depending on that relationship with DA, obviously.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's going to be a lot of options. It's going to be interesting to see how they do it. But yeah, I think the Saints over the last several years have made it pretty clear that guys returning to the fold is something that they're okay with, right? There's clearly a no hard feelings situation when they go out of town. Malcolm Jenkins, for example. But they're willing to bring guys back. They have no issue bringing guys back.
Sean Payton admitted, I think, that was one of the biggest mistakes that he had in his tenure here was letting Malcolm out the building.
Yeah. I'm sure. But yeah, so that's obviously something that's there's potential there. If the Saints go, the issue with Vaughn is he's a little long in the tooth relative to, you know, what you'd be asking him to do. Now, I just don't know. He's never played with Tyrann Mathieu before, so it's tough to say, like, oh, this will work. You already have one older guy. How many of those guys do you want? But yeah, there's definitely something out there. And especially if the market doesn't develop for Vaughn the way it probably right. won't, and you can get him on a sweetheart contract just to come back home and force a bunch of fumbles. That was what he always did really well, was force fumbles.
And with Mike T leaving, that leaves another Ohio State vacancy that we have to fill. So
that's true. Oh, and potentially Marshawn. So
that's true, right? There you go.
It would be weird if they just only had like one Ohio State guy. Because they used to have like Nick Vannett and all these guys. Now it's just Chris Olave, which just feels wrong.
Yeah, we gotta boost up the Buckeye presence.
Yes, yes. Oh, and Pete Werner. I'm sorry, Pete Werner. Can't forget about Pete. Yeah. But all right. From there, we don't have a ton to talk about, but I do want to bring up. So, you know, the Saints are always tend to be the second wave team in free agency. You don't see them typically make a ton of moves. They did sign a fullback, Xander Horvath. You joked that he sounds like a Marvel character. I think he's more of a DC. It just sounds, you know, Xander, just, you know, it's a very, very DC sound. I did just watch the new Aquaman. It was terrible. So take that for what it is.
Have you seen the Marvel movie? Is it worse than that?
The Aquaman?
Was Aquaman worse than the Marvels?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because it was the last one. It was like they all had senioritis, right? Like it's the last DC movie of that arc of that universe, right? So they just let Jason Momoa do whatever the hell he wanted to do.
Gotcha.
Because Jason Momoa is a weird dude. Like, I think people didn't have proper perspective because he was in Game of Thrones, and they were just like, okay, Jason Momoa is cool. He's just this big, tough guy. But then it's like, now he's in like the Fast and Furious and Aquaman, and it's just like, this guy's a weirdo. But in a good way, in a fun way. But it's like hard to take him seriously when they
great, just now you're going to have Jason Momoa after you, bro.
Just let him off the chain in the way they did. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. Xander Horvath, fullback, the Saints have signed him. Now, there are several players that the Saints have not re-signed. They did tender Rashid Shaheed, so he will be back. That was always obvious that was going to happen because, I mean, an exclusive rights free agent, for them to get out of the building, you got to hate them. Because all you have to do is extend them a minimum contract, like $990,000 or something like that, and you can keep them. That's how it works. And it's like fewer than three accrued seasons, and you just got to tender them a qualifying offer. And of course, they did. Adam Prentice is also a restricted free agent. Saints did not tender him. And Lynn Bowden is a restricted free agent. Saints didn't tender him. I could see Lynn getting brought back as a free agent. It just didn't make sense because the tender price was way higher than you would have paid him. It was way higher anyway. But you kind of go down the list and there's a handful of players that I think you would want to bring back. I think you want to bring back Ike Yadam. I think you want to bring back Zach Bond. I think you want to bring back Andres Pete. But I think how the Saints approach free agency, especially with their own players, is they're going to say, hey, this is what we have for you. This is the offer that we're going to give. We think it's fair. We think this is what the market would dictate for you. And you can either take it or you can go see what's out there in free agency.
Right. Go check it out. Right.
And if you find a great contract and you want to go there, go ahead. No hard feelings. But this offer's here. So let's see. And I think like a guy like Caden Ellis last year, he went out and he was like, oh, the Falcons are going to pay me a good chunk of change. I'm going to take that. And the Saints were like, okay, good for you. Happy for you. David Onyemata, same thing. Marcus Davenport, same thing.
Well, now Onyemata and Ellis are going, wait a minute, where'd Nielsen go?
Right. The grass is not always greener. But that's how the Saints operate. They have a number and a ceiling. And they say, this is what we can pay you. Take it or leave it, you know, and we're not going to be offended if you go get another deal. But they're also not going to be the team. So like, for example, what would it take for it to happen prior to free agency? What would it take for it to happen today, even when free agency just gets started? The Saints would have to offer a contract that is at a price point that makes it so that players like, it's not even worth testing free agency because no one's going to match this or no one's going to blow this out of the water. And the Saints just aren't going to do that. It's part of the way they manage the cap. They have to be rigid. So I think that's, and it makes it so you have a much more reasonable bargaining structure than teams that are just like, we got to keep this guy around. Doesn't matter what the cost is. So I think that's why they end up being that second wave team, because for that to happen, Zach Bond, right, would have to let his agent go talk to teams and say, what are you going to offer? And so, that's when you kind of get that process sorted out. So, and that's true of free agents as well. That's what happened with Jamal Williams last year. It's what happened with Colin Saunders. They said, hey, here's the offer. Feel free to go shop around. We'll be here if you want to talk some more.
No, we've seen them be a first day active on the first day with getting a guy like Jarris Bird. Didn't work out so well.
No, I think that the approach they take is actually the more prudent one. And people will say it's because it has to be that way because of the way they manage the cap. It's not wrong. They do have to be that way because they manage the cap, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong approach.
Right.
I actually think it's the right approach, and it's just a helpful byproduct of not having a ton of flexibility.
Right. You're not going to overspend on what somebody's done previously. Obviously, and that's what that first wave of free agency is to me. You're paying for what they did in the past, not what they're going to do for you.
Yeah, and I've always felt like, overspending to keep your own guys is one thing.
Right.
Because I just think there's value in that. There's value in continuity. There's value in guys who know the system and know the coaches and you feel comfortable with and bringing them back. Overspending to bring in a free agent because you feel like what happened outside of your building is way better than what happened inside of your building, that's usually a sign that you didn't do the job well in the first place in bringing in talented players and retaining talented players. And then a sign that's like, this guy, like, who knows if he's going to do the work? Like, a lot of times it's like, oh, this contract year, he played really well. Well, what happens when he gets that contract? You don't know. It's a variable. You don't know. So, like, in a lot of instances, you see these big-time free agent deals, and they are not good. They do not work the way that you may have intended. So I've never had an issue with a team, filling needs in free agency when you need to. But otherwise, building through the draft and retaining and developing and retaining your own players. And so, like, if the options are, hey, we can go get a big name guy, restructure everybody, go get a big name guy, and then have a much harder time extending Paulson Adebo, extending Pete Warner, extending Chris Olave in a couple of years, then I'm going to go with the retain your own talented players angle every time.
Yeah, and that, like you mentioned, the bargain bin shopping is definitely more prudent for this squad. Salary cap issues or not.
Yeah. So what do they bring in? I think they do bring in a slot corner option. So I think whether it's Avante Maddox, maybe they get scared off by the medicals on him. I think that's going to be a big part of it because he has missed those years or a lot of games the last 2 years. I think you're going to bring in a slot corner. I think you're going to bring in a veteran safety. And depending on what you do with your own free agents, right? If you don't re-sign Zach Bond, then I expect you to maybe look at a linebacker. If you don't re-sign Andres Pete, then I expect you to look at a veteran offensive line option. But I would prefer you to re-sign those guys if you can, personally.
You mentioned safety, too. I'm curious to see what happens with Jonathan Abram. I think he could be a good rotational guy for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think you could definitely bring back. Like, I think you're going to sign a veteran. It could be Jonathan Abram.
Right.
But last year you brought in several. Like, you brought in Abram and Lonnie Johnson. So it might not just be one because you're also down Marcus May, right? So you could end up bringing in 2-3 safeties and letting him compete for a roster spot. But that's going to be down the road. Like, those aren't signings that you're going to make the first week of free agency when everyone's overvaluing themselves, right? You're going to let the market develop for some guys. And then if there's a player that you really like that you think you can bring in at a reasonable contract, you go do it. I know this is the part of the podcast that everyone gets excited about because we're talking about fiscal responsibility.
That and the fact that it's crazy to me how much of a priority I think Andres Pete now is for this team.
Well, I mean, he's a priority if there are no other options that you're excited about, right? Like, I wouldn't, if they let Andres Pete go because he's getting offered a contract that they don't think is probably worth it, I'm okay with that as long as there's another option that you're looking at. Last year, for example, it's like you brought in Trey Turner, and that felt like a really good signing until he blew out his quad
immediately
second practice, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Because like, Andres is not exactly an injury risk-free guy.
Right. Now, you mentioned Turner there. I don't haven't heard anything about a potential future for him or where he's at in his injury.
No, I mean, he's one of those guys that I think if you're going to re-sign him, you're going to do it like a week before camp.
A week before camp, yeah.
like you did last year.
Yeah.
But there's a whole mess. I put up a post on WWL.com that has all of the free agents, the potential free agents, the guys that are going out, the restricted guys, the guys who have been tendered already, and guys who have been in for a visit. We're going to update that as it goes. So if you're looking for, you're listening and you want to get kind of a good rundown of all the players that are going to be free agents that the Saints could potentially bring back, go check that out. I'll be updating it throughout the day, throughout the week, to kind of have a good handle on everything. So go check that out. Feel free to bookmark it if that's your cup of tea. But otherwise, yeah, we're going to be watching. We're going to be seeing how this all develops. And I think after a free agency, the mock drafts will get a lot more accurate.
Right. You have the different websites, though. Even now, you go to them and do the simulators. I'm still flabbergasted on the amount of those mock draft simulators that have Jaden Daniels falling so much. And I get mad now, and I redo them.
Especially now, because Mac Jones got traded to the Jaguars for like, right, you know, a bag of used underwear. Like, I mean, Mac Jones and Jerry Jeudy, I think these are both like number 15 overall picks in back-to-back drafts. Both got traded. The highest pick that changed hands was like a fifth rounder.
Brutal.
Sometimes we overreact with draft grades, I think.
No, and Sean Payton doing Sean Payton things in Denver. I was like, I don't give a damn. I got rid of Russ and Jerry Jeudy later, like you said, for a used underwear, basically.
That roster is unrecognizable from the one he took over.
Yeah.
But all right, let's wrap up this podcast. Thanks everyone who listened all the way to the end. I appreciate you as always. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Let us know what you think. We're going to be trying to come back later in the week with more free agency updates, obviously. Hopefully a mock draft, kind of get you an idea of who we think the Saints are going to draft. That's a ways out still, but it's going to be one of the only intriguing things left to talk about when the Saints don't sign a single warm body in free agency.
One last message, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons.
Is that official?
From Shefty, so pretty much, yeah.
Woo doggy. So the NFC South quarterbacks are going to be a bunch of old guys again, and a rookie first overall pick. It's going to be the same thing as when it was Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, and Jameis Winston as the number one overall pick in 2016, right? I'm not comparing Derek Carr to, don't take me as comparing Derek Carr to Drew Brees. I'm just saying, like,
Jeff in the said sense that of, Derek Carr is Drew Brees.
In the sense of three old guys and one, you know, young number one overall pick is my point.
Well, Kirk,
this feels right. It feels right.
Hopefully we play Kirk Cousins in a primetime game, because I know he's terrible in those.
So is Derek. So
ouch.
Actually, I take it back. I mean, we really haven't seen Derek play any primetime games because the Saints don't get any. I don't count Thursdays.
Right. We'll see if he can turn into Mr. Sunday or Monday night for us.
Derek Carr ever plays them. Actually, the only game he played Monday Night Football, they won, because it was against the Panthers.
There you go. Right.
All right. Anyway, yeah, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the state of the NFC South quarterbacking in future episodes. But again, thanks everyone for listening. Who dat? Go Saints.
Peace.
There you go. Peace, y'all. Peace.